Blog Talk Radio.
Witchcraft in the pulpit. Demons, witches, and warlocks are looking to steal your faith. Many of your favorite celebrity preachers are manipulating the word of God to their advantage. They do not care about your faith, your holiness, or righteousness. They aren't really concerned about your salvation, redemption, or repentance. All they want is your obedience to their words, their will, and their ways. In short, they'll take your money too. Today on Pathways to Truth Radio, we're going to give you the warning signs about witchcrafts in the pulpit. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Pathways to Truth Nation. I know it's been a minute, but we're live today. Me and Brother Frank. How ironic to be talking about witchcraft in the pulpit on Easter Sunday. I bet we're the only people in the country that are not talking about Jesus rising on the third day. Lord have mercy. Brother Frank, I got to say it, man.
Go ahead.
How many times is the church going to tell that story the wrong way? Listen, for many of you folks who listen to us, y'all know that last week we played an archive of the resurrection of Jesus and the origin of Easter. You really, really have to listen to that. I'm not going to go into that today because that's not what we're talking about today. But that's part of the witchcraft.
Yeah.
Y'all got to hear what we're saying. All we're talking about is truth. We're talking about truth, and we're talking about the correctness that needs to come back to teaching and in the Word of God. So good morning to Pathways of Truth Nation. Welcome, brothers. Good to hear your voice again. I want to give you an opportunity to say hi to everybody, and then I want you to just jump right on in.
All right, yeah. Good morning, everybody. You're so on point, man. With that, man, it ties right into the witchcraft that we're going to be talking about today, and hopefully, man, the Spirit of God will open some people's ears and open their hearts and minds and their eyes, man, so they may be able to hear and see what we're talking about today as far as witchcraft. But welcome to the show, everybody. Nick, I want to just take a moment and give my Uncle Rudy, man, a happy birthday, man. You know, he's celebrating his 60th birthday this weekend, man.
You know, Uncle Rudy, baby.
Uncle Rudy getting it in, man.
All right, well, Uncle Rudy, happy birthday from the Pathways to Truth family. The whole country, we're just saying happy birthday, brother. I know he got something crazy going on down there in the wood.
man, he throwing a party down in Hilton Head, man.
Oh man, why he invite us, Frank? See, I'm gonna get on him about that.
We was invited, man. I just was all tied up this weekend, man.
All right, we'll get him next time.
Yeah, we'll get him next time, man. But yeah, man, they doing it big down in Hilton Head, man. So happy birthday, Uncle Rudy. Yeah, man, let's get into it, man, because you're right, man. We're the only folks that are talking about witchcraft on Easter. hopefully after this show, man, we can get some better understanding because, so first of all, we want to let everybody know, man, that most of the time when somebody hear witchcraft, man, they thinking about, you know, the green witches, man. First of all, witches are not this green lady with a wart on her nose. deep in the forest, man. Got her with her cat and got her something, man. Hey. That's far.
Yeah, that ain't that. That ain't what it is.
That's not what it is. It's far from the devil. The devil is more savvier than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we wanted to open the show up and let everybody know, although we're talking about witchcraft in the pulpit, that God did not give us the spirit of fear.
Right.
He gave, but of a sound mind. We're supposed to have a sound mind, not a confused mind. See, most of us are confused because of the lack of knowledge and because of the teaching. So a lot of us are confused about a lot of things, man, and because we don't read, study, and meditate God's word, and we stay in darkness, man. But he want us to, although we're talking about witchcraft now, let not your heart be troubled. The only fight we're supposed to be fighting is the good fight of faith. So fear not. Jesus says, have faith in God. So I want you to know at the beginning of this show is that you have the power by the help of the Holy Spirit to be restored and be made whole again by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You just have to repent and come back into the fullness of the fold. I want you to know you are being bewitched. So let's not get it twisted, Nick. They are being bewitched. You just don't realize and recognize it because the witch is not using black magic on you. Oh, okay. All right, Nick. I want to take a few minutes, Nick, and just help people to understand a witch.
Yeah.
A witch comes from the Ancient of Days, man. A witch is a woman practicing usually witchcraft, often with the aid of a devil or a familiar or a sorceress. Those are compared to warlocks. So that's the witch. What the witch does is she practices her craft. See, what a witch is doing is practicing her craft. A craft is an exercise, skill, in making something, in this case, getting you to agree. Okay. We don't need to go fast with this because you got to get the understanding of this. And as we go through the show, you'll get the understanding of what I'm talking about. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is the practice of magic, especially black magic, the use of spells, and the invocation of spirits. So they welcome spirits in. So when we're talking about witchcraft in the pulpit, we're talking about the pulpit is used to practice their craft for the invocation of spirits. So who's ever standing in the pulpit, they can allow spirits to come in.
Yeah.
So they opening up the doors for spirits to come in. That's what we're getting to. Now, the reason why you don't recognize what's happening is because you're too carnal-minded. You're not looking at things from a spiritual point of view. Most people are just going to church every day, Nick, or every weekend, and just trying to get a message and hear a feel-good message and come out and say that they don't please God by going through this process. But what most of them do not realize is that witchcraft is going on.
Yeah.
And because they don't realize that witchcraft is going on, they don't know that they need to break the spell off of them. It's a spell that's been put on you, but you don't know it because it's a nice one. See, you think that what's going on is good.
Yeah.
And they have good intentions. So, but the magic that these witches use only work if you say with your own mouth what the witch say. See,
yeah.
The witch is trying to get you to say and believe what they are saying, but they want you to say it so you can believe it because you believe what you say out of your own mouth, not what somebody else say out of their mouth. What you say out of your mouth, that's what you believe. See, this is a word planet, so things are formed and fashioned by words. All right. Don't let me go too fast, man. All right.
You're doing good.
The magic that a witch uses is being able to get you to say it with your mouth. That's what I'm trying to say. It's trying to get you to say it. Okay, for an example, he might say amen, and you say amen. It's time to give, and you say, it's time to give. Say amen, and you say amen. Okay, that's witchcraft.
Yeah.
See, he had to get you to say it so you can convince yourself that it's time to give. And every Sunday you come in, you've been put under the spell. Now, so every Sunday, a lot of times he don't even have to say it. As soon as they say offering time or tithing time, you subconsciously say in your spirit, it's time to give. So
yes.
You pull out your wallets every Sunday. You don't reject it. You don't resist it. No Sunday do you resist putting at least $1 in the plate.
Okay. I got to come in, Frank.
Come on in, man.
I got to say something.
Come on in.
So what we're hearing is a couple of different things. We have to go back to the principle is this: faith cometh by hearing.
Yes, sir.
That's the paradigm. That's the principle. No matter what you hear, you believe it. I don't want to go too fast.
Yeah, go ahead.
The enemy has access to the same information that you do as a immature Christian, and so the enemy is he is driving the bus, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
And everybody on the bus is the passenger. I've never seen the bus driver go someplace different than the people on the bus. The people on the bus always go the same direction in the same path that the bus driver does. So in this instance, the spirit or the dispatcher gives the bus driver his route. Look at it like the devil is on the other end of the radio, and he's telling the bus driver where to go. The people on the bus, they back there involved in whatever they're doing, getting their spade game ready to go, checking their suitcases and getting their snacks out. They're not really paying attention to where the bus driver's going. Somebody
yeah.
say, how did you get from Charlotte to Little Rock, Arkansas? Well, they left at night. You were asleep. You missed half the – you don't know how you got there. But when you get there, they stops. Okay, we're at Little Rock, Arkansas. Y'all get on. Here's the message. The message is that from the point of time when you began your journey and to the point where you ended your journey, you have no knowledge of what transpired in between that time when you left and when you arrived at your destination. But the whole time, the bus driver know the route. And even while you were sleeping or distracted, he stayed on the course and you followed him, you went the same way, even though you had no knowledge or an interest in getting to know which way you were going. In other words, you had faith in the bus driver.
Mm.
But you don't have faith in God.
Wow.
Okay. Brother Frank, what I'm saying is that repetition,
mm-hmm.
incantations,
mm-hmm.
all of these things that we hear over and over again, the repetitive nature of the things that many times church leaders say from the pulpit that people respond to without even thinking. They don't even think. They just, it's call and response. They just, the preacher said it, they say it. You just said it. They say it, you say it. You don't even think about it. It's time to give. It's time to give. Oh, okay. Autonomic response. I'm going to give. Wait a minute. I got 7 bills at home that ain't paid. My car about ready to get repossessed, but I'm getting ready to give money away that's going to put me in calamity in less than 2 hours. Go ahead.
Wow. Man. That's right on point, man. Listen, man, that is the reason why the witches got upset. Okay, let me say that. Gather yourself, right? The witches have gotten upset in the Ancient of Days because the men became witches. They saw what the women were doing and the power and the authority that the women was operating in with this witchcraft. So the men wanted to become witches. Okay, witches was just women in the Ancient of Days that was using their craft on people. Okay, so what the witches call a male witch, he's standing in the pulpit, I'm telling y'all, is a warlock. See, a warlock is a male witch, and what a witch is calling a male witch, a warlock, they call him that because they call him a traitor. See, a warlock is a traitor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Take your time. Take your time.
They don't get along well with warlocks. So what the witches have done to the warlocks is use black magic on the warlocks, and the warlocks, thinking that they have power, and the power that they are using is the power to keep you under a spell for a long period of time. Okay, the warlocks are doing that, but the witches have used black magic on the warlocks. The warlocks are standing in the pulpit because they're male witches, and the male witches are using the craft, but they don't realize that the craft, they don't realize now, a lot of the male witches do not realize the power of the craft. They thinking that the people like them, they don't realize that witchcraft is being used to get the people to come back. Okay, look, is witchcraft being used to get a person to keep coming back to the same place every weekend, and they don't think about it? They don't know what's happening to them. Is witchcraft being used? It's not the person, not that they like the pastor. Witchcraft has drawn them there. Okay, okay. Okay, look, man. See, this craft is also called, let's see, witchery or spellcraft. It's a craft that they use to put a spell on somebody. So it's called spellcraft. And this practice and belief in magical skills and abilities that are able to exercise individually by designating social groups or by persons with necessary esoteric secret knowledge. Okay, I know I said a lot there. I'm going to have to break that down a little bit. You see, Brother Nick, I looked up this word esoteric. And esoteric
is a dangerous word.
Yes. The craft is only intended for or understood by only a very small number of people. Okay. The reason why witchcraft can work is because only a small number of people know that, not have the knowledge of it, and they're using it. And they are so bonded and tight-knitted together that in small numbers, they can operate and run the whole show with just like four people. Okay. All right, let me say this. Okay. These people are specialized, have specialized knowledge or interest in controlling others. Okay. Witchcraft is that they just trying to control people.
Yeah.
See, they trying to use their shields, like you said, with the call and response. See, the call and response allowed the witch to know that, okay, I got them in control. Now they're saying what I say.
Yep.
Can I get a hallelujah? Stand up on your feet. Everybody stands up. Clap your hands. Everybody clap their hands. Say praise the Lord. I can't get no amen in here. Everybody say amen. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. Everybody say amen. See, that's witchcraft. They don't know this, though. They think the pastor's just, you know, being flamboyant with stuff, but black magic is being used on the pastor. He don't know it, though. Okay, man. Let me slow down. The pastor is being used by the witches, and he don't know it.
Yeah.
He thinks that the people like him. The people don't like you.
Frank, I gotta ask you something real quick, because you said something and you went kind of quick with it, but I want to make sure that you kind of go back over this.
Okay.
You're the contention that you're making is that where maybe beforehand the people may have thought that witches and warlocks work in concert with one another, but in fact, witches and warlocks are adversarial.
They do not
like each other. It's very important that we reinforce that, and the reason why. Okay, go ahead. All right.
Okay, the witches, the women yearn for the power. And the power got to stay within the women, because the women think that it's their craft. It's not meant for a male. It's not meant for a male to do it. It's meant for the woman to do it, because this is a woman's skill. This is not a male skill. This is a woman's skill. So they do not like when the man is trying to use their skill. It's like you got a women's volleyball team, and then a homosexual man try to come and play volleyball with the girl. And he's on the team, and he's so athletic, and he's outbeating and stronger and everything with the girls, and he done took over the girls' sport. So the men started to join in, and men take over the girls' sport. The men have taken over the girls' sport. Okay. Okay, let me slow down, man. Okay. Brother Nick, this craft is so powerful that the witches has used on the warlock, the men witches, the male witches, is that the witches have put their staple on Easter. See, Easter Day, they have used the black magic in the Ancient of Days to have people that don't even go to church come to church on Easter. That's how powerful the magic has become.
Yeah.
Listen. The magic draws the people to a church somewhere on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how strong black magic is being used. But I'm saying black magic because what I'm trying to get to is the craft is only taught to the members of this specialized small group, like a pastor, a first lady, and two deacons.
Yeah.
Okay. See, now, a pastor can operate like a wizard. the first lady is the witch, and the two deacons are the demon's agents. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Look, it's always two deacons that a pastor and his wife has to yoke up with to get them to do the dirty work and to get them to do stuff that can help with the people, to keep the people coming and to keep the people giving. They need some help, so they got to get at least two demons to buy into it. And so these two demons, they work the crowd because they're familiars. Even if the people don't like the witch and the wizard, they like the demons. So the demons work the crowd to make sure that the witch and the warlock and the wizard is elevated. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I got a question.
Go ahead.
And a comment. Question and comment. Comment first. Question next. Okay, so what we're talking about, just so everybody understands, the manipulation and the deception that is going on throughout the institutional churches, what we're talking about right now. This is not every place, but is many places. Okay, it's not every place. This is many places, and the reason why this might sound strange is because of perception. Two things: perception and deception. Okay, so the perception is when you hear demonic activity, the perception is that you can see evil.
That's right.
I'm not going to go too fast. Hang on a second. So you got the picture that you have in your head is the incantation, the green smoke, the cauldrons, and the eye of Newt and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's what that is. Those are the fairy tale 1450 from Salem, Massachusetts stuff. Okay, you got to come up modern day. Okay,
yes,
so the history is traced back to the pagan god Ishtar, Isthar, where they get the mispronunciation of Easter. So Ishtar was the goddess of fertility that Constantine adopted into the Christian faith back in around 200 or 300 A.D. Okay, because at the end of the day, they needed to have something that they could tie the people in with, that they could draw the people in. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about drawing the people in, keep the people connected. They had to create a holiday. Listen, I'm going to make it plain. There is no Easter in the Word of God. It's not in the Bible. Easter is not in the Bible. Okay, I know that's going to upset a lot of people, but it ain't in there. If you find it, send us an email and let us know where to find it. Okay, so that's first thing right there. So there is the deception. Remember, I said it's perception and it is deception. The deception is, we're going to create this manipulation and control because at the end of the day, our goal is not holiness or righteousness. I said this in the introduction. It's manipulation and control of your mind, your body, your soul, and spirit. There's no concern. This edification is not centered on salvation or redemption or repentance. It's not about building the relationship with God or getting you to Christ Jesus. At the end of the day, we have a whole nation of biblical illiterates. And because people are biblically illiterate, they don't have the ability to understand, interpret, or apply God's word to their life. And the result is ignorance, and they are vulnerable to these deceptions and tricks that these witches and warlocks can deploy. Listen, it is so deep, the warlocks don't even know that they're being manipulated.
That's right.
Go ahead, man.
That's right, man. See,
they don't even know they're being manipulated.
See,
good
that's
God
why,
Almighty.
Oh, man. Okay, see, look, that's why you got to hear what we're saying spiritually. I'm not talking about no green lady. I'm not talking about no green lady back in the woods. I'm not talking about no demon that's standing in the pulpit. I'm talking about a man being used. I'm talking about a man being used. Okay, listen, man. I said that a wizard, a witch, and two demons as agents, the two demons are aids or familiars. See, the demons that the witch and the wizard is using, they're familiars. They in the same type of mindset as the pastor and the first lady. They want to control people also. Okay, what I'm trying to get everybody to understand is this right here. Please believe me when I tell you this. The pastor is not in control. Look, the first lady is in control. See, the witch, okay, look, it's called witchcraft, not wizardcraft. It's called witchcraft because it was primarily practiced by women in the ancient of days and ancient times, because women want to control men and children and make them do what she wants them to do. So we deal with these spirits daily. Have you wives right now? You know wives that want to control their husband and their children. You got women like that every day. You ain't got to be a pastor or a first lady. You can just be a crazy wife trying to control your women and kids. You a witch. God can't get through. God cannot get through to the man because he's been controlled by the witch. Oh, okay. Okay. Let me slow down. Cause I'm gonna get excited. Okay. I had to get some help, cause see, folks that think we talking, but this all in the word. We ain't never saying nothing that we ain't getting for the word. This stuff is in the word. It's witches and warlocks and wizards throughout it.
Yeah.
You just gotta understand what's going on. Okay. These spellcraft folks, see, they're practicing a craft to put a spell on somebody. So that's why they call it spellcraft. And they are not going to repent. See, Mammon, the Lord of this earth, is their Lord. Okay, as a believer, we are called to repentance from all forms of witchcraft. We in it now, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. As a believer, because of repentance, we have been called from underneath the spell of any witchcraft. Because God would not allow witchcraft into the believer's heart and mind. He'll be able to spot it and see it a mile away. He'll be able to spot it and see it, and you know what it is, so you don't get involved in it, and a witch cannot entice you charismatic, enchanting ways. We hear it and we see it easily through the believer's heart and mind and eyes and ears. See, because our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know clearly that our Father's voice, so we know that it's not him. So we're not going to even give that any thought. We resist the devil, he flees. Okay. All right. Big Brother Samuel said that for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. These folks have rebelled against God the Father. They just can't use black magic on church folks. They will scare everybody away. So we're in it. Okay, this is what I'm talking about, y'all. The pulpiteers use white magic to keep the people bound. Okay, see, this whole time I've been trying to get you to understand black magic is being used against the pastor. Okay, but the pastor has to use white magic to keep you bound. Most folks don't even know about white magic. The world ain't going to tell you about white magic because white magic is primarily used by the priest, the priestesses, and the shamans. Oh. Those who practice white magic often are regarded as priests, priestesses, shamans, and some witches. Because, see, you know, the Wizard of Oz gave you a clue to it because they have, like, a good witch, a witch in white. She's a witch that represents white magic. The other sister, the green with the green face and the wart on her nose, she represents black magic. Well, white magic is being used to keep the people bound. Those who practice this, Nick, these folks are regarded as having access to and influence in the world of good and evil, right? These good and evil spirits, especially among some of the Northern Asia and North America, this is where it's primarily practiced. Typically, such people, they enter in a trance-like state during a ritual or practice divination and healing. See, white magic is usually positive power being used to keep you bound. Okay, like positive energy can keep a person under a spell much, much longer than a negative energy.
Yeah.
These spirits love forming a special relationship with or gaining control over spirits.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please. Oh, this is so good. Okay. Let's make sure y'all don't miss what he's saying. This is so important. I'm going back again to what we talked about a little while ago about perception and deception.
Yeah.
Okay. The spirits, this is all spiritual. What
yes.
we're talking about. You, the manifestation of this whole exercise we're having today, this whole teaching is spiritually motivated. He talked
yes,
about
sir.
Mammon, and Mammon is a spirit.
Yes.
Mammon is translated the spirit of greed.
Yes.
And does not necessarily involve money exclusively.
That's right.
It is the greed spirit or the greedy spirit is the consumption of everything. There is no limit to its consumption. Mammon wants to consume everything and everybody.
Yeah.
Mammon doesn't want to leave anybody out.
Nobody.
And so don't get it twisted when he talks about Mammon and you just go straight to money. No.
Yeah, no.
The spirit of Mammon is an all-consuming spirit. Okay? That is real. Whether you believe it or not, and it is disguised in a number of different ways. So Brother
mm-hmm.
Samuel says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What he was saying is that witchcraft takes on several different forms as well. Rebellion, stubbornness,
mm-hmm.
envy,
mm-hmm.
laziness, all these different attributes, the seven the seven deadly sins all fall under this category because these are all spirits that can occupy a body that is not sophisticated or built up enough in God to resist it. So, in other words, your ignorance to God's word invites, listen, I'm going to go slow, your ignorance to God's word invites these spirits into you. I'm going to say it again. Because you're ignorant of God's word, you're susceptible to the tricks of the enemy. Therefore, you can be manipulated by witchcraft because it doesn't look like what you think witchcraft looks like.
Oh, okay. Man, let me come in. Oh, you're good, man. Go ahead. No, go ahead, man. You're good.
So your perception is one of blackness and darkness and all these wicked sounds and red smoke and black, all this stuff. But in actuality, it is a well-dressed, well-spoken, handsome or attractive individual standing before you saying all these beautiful words that you just love, and at the end of the day, it's just twisting that vice tighter and tighter and tighter until you pop. Okay, at the end of the day, what are we trying to accomplish? What does he want to accomplish? He wants your faith. He is after the same thing that God is after.
That's right.
The devil has no interest whatsoever in your dead body. He could care less about that. He don't want to kill you. What he wants is your faith. Because once he knows once he has your faith, he has you. Okay. The Bible says that no man can serve two masters. That's what the Bible says. Not Nick, not Frank. You're going to love the one and hate the other. Okay. And so if you love witchcraft and if you love the spirit of darkness, you can't love God. The whole point we're saying is don't get it twisted. You cannot see God. You cannot see God. You cannot see or hear him. You cannot feel his Holy Spirit unless you are immersed in him or in Christ. See, in Christ you're protected. The hedge of protection is the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord God and how he looks, how he sounds, how he smells, how he tastes. All of these things are all encompassing as a son of the Most High. Because you are led by the Holy Spirit. There is no possibility that the spirit of darkness will infiltrate the kingdom of light, because light and darkness, the Bible says, can't coexist, that the darkness can't comprehend the light, which means it can't overtake the light. When they're in the same room, okay, I have never seen a room stay dark when you flip the light on. You have to be dead to miss that. Go ahead, man.
Oh my goodness, man. That goes right in flow with. That's why, Nick, no evil or negative thoughts and intention are involved in white magic.
Yeah.
See, it goes for your inner beliefs and thoughts and your wishes that can perhaps bring about a change in your life.
Yeah.
Such as love spells, money spells, healing spells, fertility spells. See, it goes for those types of things to get you to wishing that and hoping that there can be a change in your life so the wizard or the warlock has tapped in to your inner beliefs, your inner thoughts, because You need a financial breakthrough.
Hmm. Oh, yes. Brother Frank. So the weakness extends the invitation.
Yes, sir.
So the weakness in your life, I'm not loved, I need some money, and then the spirit of mammon says, sends a legion of demons. Oh, look at Brother Nick down there. He just found out he got cancer. He don't have faith in God, but he wanna do it this way. We're gonna send him to Benny Hinn.
Yes.
Go ahead, man.
Love spells and money spells, healing spells, fertility spells are some of the most popular white magic used in a positive way to draw money towards the spell casters. These spells are ideal for those with genuine financial problems and also have a potential to help a person manage and organize their finances better. They need a husband. My mama is sick. Look, man, the spell casters sends out the spell, and because you're vulnerable and weak at that point, they can draw all kind of money out of you, man.
Oh, yeah. That's it right there. That is it right there.
Oh, man. Man, I'm going to give you a remedy, though. See, Nick said the right thing before. See, I'm in Christ looking back out at you. See, I'm not coming out you. I'm not coming out of Christ to walk and help with you. I'm fine talking to you in Christ. See, I know what's out there, so I'm going to just stay in Christ, and I'll talk to you from that point. In order to come into me, you got to come into Christ.
Yeah.
See, how you resist these spirits is by turning your life over to Christ. Christ Jesus is our refuge. He's our hiding place. No demon is going to follow you inside Christ.
No.
He's not allowed to come in here. So I have to stand at the door. I've been standing at the door in Christ when he knocks at these folks' door and they act like they don't hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And will not open that door, Nick. And for Christ that will come in and sup with him, right, and we'll come into him and sup with him and me.
Yeah.
Look, man, to him that overcometh will he grant to sit with him in his throne, even as he also overcame and am set down with his Father in his throne. And they ignore the knock and act like they don't hear God, bruh.
My goodness. That's it right there.
Big brother Nick, man, I know we love this. Most folks probably have never heard. I think, man, to be honest, I think we are probably the only two dudes that ever really talk about Malachi a lot. Okay, I'm talking about the whole book of Malachi.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
The real story.
Look, man. Big Brother Malachi, the oracle, taught me how the priests are sharply reproved for profaning the covenant given them and the people for strange marriages, treachery, and impiety,
mm-hmm.
which is which is the lack of piety or reverence, especially for God. See, what God is upset about, these witches have taken control of the pastors, and the pastors have the people reverencing them, and they are reverencing themselves instead of God. They don't have no reverence for God. They have allowed the witches and the spirit of mammon to fully take control and authority and to be their God. Malachi showed me how rebellious these priests and priestesses can be. Nick Malachi said, he revealed to me that their ungodlessness,
yeah,
their ungodliness, their unholiness, their unrighteousness, their sinfulness, their transgressions, which means to step across the line of holiness and righteousness.
Yeah.
Okay. They doing this by using white magic.
Yeah.
Malachi said, these priests' blessings have been cursed already because they do not lay God's commandments to heart to walk upright and holy and righteous, which is our reasonable service.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. God is saying that it is not hard to be holy and righteous, man. He said that's reasonable. So, big brother Nick, God gets so disgusted with these guys because they will not repent for their wrongdoing that he kills the pastors, corrupt the pastor's seed, and spread dung upon their faces, even the dung upon their solemn feast.
That's in the Bible.
That's dignified ceremonious anniversaries.
Yeah.
God spread dung all over that.
Yeah.
Malachi said a mystery to me. He said, and one shall take you away with it. Okay, I had to meditate on that, man. I said, man, what are you saying, God? He said, God said that he will give someone the knowledge of what he is doing to the priest.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, see, look, we're probably the only one that talk about God kills these guys. God will kill a pastor.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, man. And look, and don't even blink an eye.
Don't blink an eye.
He still
this very day, Frank, he still smites them. The biggest
yes,
names. And the we talked about it in the preamble of the show. The celebrity pastors are not safe because they're living their lives as if they're never going to see Jesus face to face.
That's right.
Oh, he'll let them go on for a while.
Yeah.
And build the case against them like any good judge.
Yes, sir.
When the judge calls you before you, it's just like the CIA. Or the FBI, then when they come to your door, it's a wrap. They don't come to your door looking for the information. They already have the information. They're coming to let you know we got you.
Yeah.
How you want to roll from here?
Yeah.
God says, "I got you. I'm giving you a choice to live or die."
Yes. Choose death. Listen.
Yeah.
The majority of them choose death.
Yes.
Before they will go back and face the people with repentance, they'll choose
mm-hmm.
death.
Yeah.
We must remember that God cut a covenant with those who believe and fear him and is afraid before his name. God cut covenants with us. So those folks that will not repent and do not fear God, and they are definitely not afraid before his name, man, he slayed them folks, man.
Yes.
This is the key, man, what Malachi was showing me, man. God cut a covenant a long time ago with Levi. Listen, he said covenant was with him of life and peace. He that walk after the Spirit, walk after life and peace. You will have life and peace when you walk after the Spirit. And with walking after the Spirit, he said that, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Levi was afraid of God, man.
Yeah.
Listen, man. I'm not talking about reverence fear. Man, listen, man. This joke is, he knew he had to walk upright.
Yeah.
He had to walk after righteousness. He wasn't following the status quo. He wasn't doing this. Listen, man. He was making sure he wasn't making any mistakes in the presence of God because he knew God was watching him.
Yes.
You can't cut a covenant with God and think that he's just going to let you go on your merry way and not watch you. And you stand up there thinking you can cut a covenant with God? Okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. The covenant that you done cut is with mammon.
Yeah.
Not the God of heaven, the God of this earth. See, Malachi had taught me that the law of truth was in Levi's mouth. That's the mouth of righteousness, and iniquity was found in his lips, and iniquity was not found in his lips, meaning that he did not lean towards unrighteousness. He walked upright in righteousness. He walked with God in peace and equity, in fairness and impartiality, and did many, and he turned many away from their iniquity. This is Levi. Through uprightness, through truthfulness, through godliness, man, you can help lead people to Christ, man.
Yes.
The church is not coming to Christ. What is going on? The folk in the church are not coming to Christ. Look, man, they're not devouring this word like we're devouring it. They're not seeking after the kingdom of God. They just going in and coming out, going in and coming out. Well, that's not God's way of doing things. God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. But what we have here today, he said that ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye corrupted the covenant of Levi with your ways and your wrongdoing, saith the Lord of hosts. He's saying you are covenant breakers. Your partiality is forbidding, and they are partial in the law of God. You can't be partial in God's word. They're doing it in part, Nick.
Yes.
This is crazy, man. White magic is believed to encompass spells like healing spells, luck spells, protective spells, to name a few of them. These folk called the Wiccans, Wiccan,
mm-hmm.
When you're in time, look up that. These folks, it's the Church of the Wiccans, man. These are witches. I mean, listen, they practicing like white magic. How is it that a parent pushes their kid to get a good education, finish high school, go to college, maybe get your master's degree or your doctorate, and the Bible sits in their home all their lives and never teach their kids anything about it. Very little of the Bible. Man, they most people are never inspired to read, study, and meditate God's word. I mean, man, to go to church all their lives and never gain a spiritual relationship with Christ Jesus, man. White magic will have you worshiping the graveyard that your grandmama and your granddad are buried down in, and you will go to that church just to be buried down at beside grandma and grandpa.
Yep.
I don't get anything out of the service, but my grandmama and my granddad are down there, so I'm gonna go down there. I'm gonna be buried down there by my grandma and my granddad. So I'll deal with all the foolishness, because if I don't go down there, they won't let me be buried down there. If I don't go, they won't let me be buried down there. I might be buried somewhere else.
It's got stuff there, boy.
You said it, Nick. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not speaking after the Father, the faith, when you most folks, Nick, are believing in the pastor, they got faith in the pastor, not God.
Absolutely.
That's all I got.
Wow. What a word today, brother. The constant access that we have to God's word is so powerful. I just thank God for all of the people that called in today to listen to what the Holy Spirit had to say, and that they would take the time to go back and study the scriptures and dissect and even have dialogue about what was heard today. I thank you, brother, for the divinity in you. I salute you, and I thank you for your faithfulness in searching the scriptures to bring revelation of God's word for the Pathways of Truth Nation. Tune in next week, Pathways of Truth Nation, for another episode of Pathways to Truth. We don't know what God is going to have us to say or do, and we love it that way. Have an awesome week in the Lord. Read your word. Read it slow. Be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Peace and blessings.